Are you awake?
Barely. I got a coffee going here, and I hate you both right now.
You sound like hell, man.
I don't hear the music yet. Did we start?
Oh, sorry. I can't hear anything. Hang on. There we go.
About time.
Oh, shut it down.
Do you have to cue the whole band together to get this?
I did. It's a little trio. Martin and the boys.
Guitar in there too.
No, maybe there it is.
You guys, see, you guys, four. It's 10:30 in the morning. It's just 7:30 a.m. out here in California.
I've been up since 6:30 Eastern time. So
I'm so jet lagged.
3:30 where you are.
I'm telling you, I am so jet lagged. I'm the only one that's not on the road. Rob's recording this at like City Hall on Isle of Haute. Rick's in.
I don't even know where Rick is. The town hall at Isle of Haute, Maine. Yeah, I'm in the office where they have their socials here.
I am literally sitting by facing the balcony of my courtyard Marriott room overlooking the inner pool.
Oh, now you. Now you're giving plugs for your hotel.
watching the pool guy try and be very quiet, not to wake anybody. He removes what looks like the first of fall leaves down here falling in there.
Wow. The question of the hour is...
Oh, wait a minute. I'm wrong. It's one of the air show people he's getting out of there.
Oh, that's what it is. Dig it out, one of the teams.
The question is, are you dressed, Rick?
No, I'm going to be perfectly honest with you all.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, let me send you some pictures that Peterson sent me.
I am free. Free to roam the cabin as I please. Probably another reason why the pool guy is facing the other way.
Yeah, right. Well, welcome to.
Bad enough I get up for you. I'm not getting dressed for you.
No, don't do that. Just stay where you are. So, welcome to. I need to get this out of the way. We changed the name to
again?
Something. Well, because we changed the name. You know, Sorensen, we got all excited, right? We changed the name to whatever, Air Show Center. And we got an email. Apparently somebody listens. I mean, that's the good news here, right? So we got an email from a lady named Shelley, and Shelley owns a website and a business called Air Show Center.
Oops.
So, we've given her now control of whatever social media things that Mark started for us. And that we didn't even have the login for yet, because that's how friends play ball, right? So anyway, we've gone now to Show Center, the Air Show podcast.
Oh, that sounds great. I like that.
Yes. Show Center, the Air Show podcast.
He said with his tongue firmly planted in his cheek.
No, but I mean, it's a good name. Show Center. The Air Show podcast, and we wish Shelley all the best, and with her business, she's going to be there at I think at the convention this year. Maybe we'll get to meet her, can have her on, and she can tell us what she's doing. So we are all scattered like the wind this time of year as the big final push of air show season continues, and we were all out in California for a few days, sort of together.
Sort of,
but not. Yeah, all within like an hour or so of each other, I guess.
Yeah, it's the big swing right now, the West Coast swing this time of year, where we have all these shows. And Rob and I were at Miramar. Rick has been at Sacramento and is now making his way up to, down really to San Francisco.
Down over. Apparently, it's a 16-minute flight, and they'll still lose my bags.
Yeah, that's right. and just for the record, I wrote you, and I said, you know, you could drive faster and have your bags. And you said, I've watched them load it.
I did.
And then
saw my bag.
And
my bag.
Then you said.
And then when I got to Sacramento, there was no bag. So I say to the guy, how is it possible that I saw them actually take it off the cart? I didn't actually see them put it in the airplane. They took it off the cart. It's marked priority. It's got a big orange sticker on it. How can it be that it didn't make the flight? And he said, we had a weight and balance issue, sir. And I said, so everybody's bag was priority then? Like, why do you even bother?
Yeah.
And so it didn't make the 17-minute flight here. And then they told me, but you'll have it on the next flight. You'll have it by 4:30.
Right.
So by 6:30, and you don't keep Ralph Royce waiting for dinner, right?
Yeah.
Ralph calls in, are you coming or not? And I said, yeah, I'm on my way, thinking that I would have had my toothbrush by now. And I literally brushed my teeth with my finger using hand soap.
Oh, no, you did not. Not hand soap. No, you didn't.
Yes, I did. And then we decided we'd sit out on a terrace. And, of course, the flies were all around me and everything. It was just horrible.
Lovely evening with Ralph.
Yes.
Yeah. Lovely evening with Ralph. Did he tell you about his chili that he's going to cook here in a few more weeks? Getting you ready for Houston?
He tells me all about it. Yeah. He tells me all about it.
You're headed back down there, aren't you, to Houston?
Yeah. I am in a couple of weeks. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, though, because then I forget where the hell I am.
Well, I got to say.
Start looking the same.
I got to say, I had a blast down at Miramar and doing the Great Pacific Air Show, which was just nuts again. And you want to start there? Rob, it was.
People said the LA Times.
Yeah, well, I believe it. I think I saw every one of them. And it was a lot of fun. But it was just nuts. That show is really, I think it's going to change the way we look at things. In this business,
they changed the way I looked at a few things.
Yeah. lots of big boats out there.
You want to explain how you think it's going to change the way we look at things, other than the fact that you brief at 7 o'clock or 7:30 in the morning.
No.
Up there and start flying, and you work until 4:30.
No, you brief at like 8:30, 9 o'clock. Yeah, it's not too bad.
You mean a Great Pacific. You're not the Great Pacific. I'm talking about Miramar.
Well, no, Miramar and the Great Pacific Air Show, I think, are doing big things. And I think that they're moving in a direction, those two shows in particular that I see. And I know there's others out there that do this, but I think they're moving in a different direction. I think they're moving in that hospitality center direction, really, that I credit Ed Downham with, you know, who started that sort of 20 plus years ago, whenever he started that, the idea of this long show that's more of an experience in something other than the air. You know, the air show's there, but it's just sort of this event, all around event. I mean, there's other things going on as well, and it's great fun. And I know Rob loves to get up at 7 and be in there to brief, because you can just see it on his face.
Well, I know you do, too.
Yeah, I do.
Well, hey, Rick, you understand this. You did it last year.
I, for the love of God, cannot understand anybody getting up at 7.
Especially to record something.
In order for me to be coherent by 7:30, I typically get up at 6. So, and then I can do some exercise and stuff, just get the blood flowing. But it's a long day there. But the Warbird segment added, the Chris Van Stell added, there are some neat things happening movement wise and with respect to the programming of the show, as well as the hospitality aspect of the show. And that's good.
Yeah, I'd have to say that industry-wide, the air show experience is becoming more experiential, is beyond just the flying, and that and we're competing against many other types of events where you have to. We talked about this a bit with Europe, but here, Darcy and her team at Sacramento have done that as well. They have so much to see for the kids on the ground when it comes to interactive exhibits, and that's a big plus, too. Yeah. And then they have so much that they offer in the air, but they've gone in a slightly different direction. And I'm seeing this at other shows too, where they're condensing the time in the air to like a 3-hour package and then bring the jet team on. So you start at noon, the jet team, the Blue Angels were on at 3, and people were starting, they could either still linger and enjoy what food there was, and there was plenty of it, or more of the exhibits because there was so much to see. And wait some of the traffic out, which made a lot of sense, too. And I like that direction as well. I think that probably makes very, very good sense. And that show has gone, we've watched it grow over the years, too. Yeah. Now we're there. They fit right in with all the best in the world. They really do. It's well done.
Well, and I got to hand it to Kevin Elliott, too. I mean, he did the exact same thing you're talking about, only he had a jet team nearly every hour. It was insane. And then we had all of the single ship demos They're at the Great Pacific Air Show, so we had the F-35 and the A-10 Heritage flight. We had the Legacy flight from the Navy. I mean, the list just went on and on. Every few moments, it seemed like there was a jet. But can I just tell you what I am fanboyed out about right now?
What's that?
Oh my goodness!
It's gonna be the jet guy.
The
isn't
jet
it?
Pack. Oh my goodness! Have you? It's nuts! It's just nuts, Rick. And Rob, they have
the one with the tether on it. The
guy there's no tether.
No,
there's no tether. He has a little stand that it hooks into. Wayne Boggs and I got into the things, and they strapped us in. It's the only time I've ever worn a hip sack and looked cool, because that's where the little emergency flotation device is at. But it's just insane. I mean, it's right out of the Rocketeer, you know.
You should have just reached over and hit the on switch when Wayne had it on. Hysterical.
Well, it would have been
best
fun.
Audio we've ever
yeah.
Moron.
Right. It would have been fun, but no. So we got in it and tried it. And I'll tell you, I have such an appreciation for what Boris and David are doing, because, you know, there's no computerized control on it. On the model that we tried, it's just literally the, you know, your hands and your arms, but a half an inch, maybe a half an inch up or down with your arms out extended like that. Is the difference between 0 miles an hour and like 120, because it's two turbine engines. You know, in the past, it was a rocket fuel, 20-second burn, and that was all you got. This is, you know, he said between 7 and 10 minutes, depending upon how sturdy you are.
Well, so. I remember the original Rocket Man. We did a show up in Saskatoon with him, and we did a Friday presentation at a school out on the playing field. And he warned me as the announcer. He said, you know, I can only be up there for a few seconds, and then I got to come back to this area. And hopefully, you know, if I time it right. And so he got all suited up, and we did a countdown. All the kids did a countdown, 10, 9, 8, 7, you know, off Rocket Man goes. And I realize as he's taking off, he's got all these knee braces on and everything. And I'm thinking, wow.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, because it's heavy. The old kit used to be really, really heavy. And as he came in and sat down beside me, he was hovering there for what seemed to be way beyond the seconds that he had. And sure enough, he had about a 5-foot drop finally with all that weight on the kerplunk and exactly the sound he made. He went, ooh. And I just thought, boy, you can't be doing that too many years. And that was the one from the James Bond film, I think, that he was using.
Right.
And so this thing's like lighter. There's, is it carbon?
Well,
is he wearing knee?
He had no knee braces on that I saw. It's all turbine powered. It's two turbine engines that just sit there, and it's amazing. It really is amazing. And I told him, I said, you know, you gotta do this thing, because on I guess it was Saturday, the second day, they had an issue with one of them. So David flew, the guy that has the most time in it. There's only three people in the entire world that can fly these things. I told David as he took off, he did all of this forward flight. Then he came right back to show center and he stopped and he did this pirouette and then flew backwards. And I said, you know, you need to develop something that people can relate to. I said, it would be really cool if you could moonwalk and just start this like moonwalk down the show line. And he goes, you know, I'm going to try that. And so Sunday he did a little bit of it and it was impressive. Yeah. But, I mean, how do you relate to that, right? And that's always our challenge as announcers, is getting the audience to
relate to the moonwalk.
Yeah, it looked cool. You have to watch this routine that he was doing. I mean, it was really, really neat. It's sort of like he's kind of dancing up there, really. And very nice.
Mark Megan Mark McGinn and Live Air Show. He'll love me for that. And Live Air Show TV. Did put up a board where we can hear your brilliant narration.
Yeah,
there.
Right.
And I know you so well. Your tongue is so furry. All you want to do is joke about it. Because it does look funny. But there was a serious aspect to your voice as well.
Well, yes, so a little serious. Not much, but a little serious. Oh, yes. My goodness.
People are watching that with a smile.
Can I just say one thing, though? You mentioned Mark McGinn. Mark was there. So Sunday night, everybody's just slap worn out. I mean, Mike Wiskus was, you know, we were all worn out. Everybody's worn out. And so Mark says, well, we couldn't find a restaurant, right? So Mark, Sword of Excellence, you know, award-winning videographer, He says, well, yeah, exactly. And we're all in the same rental car. There's like five of us in the rental car, you know, and we're all going to dinner. And Mark says, you know, if we're going to try Olive Garden, there's this other restaurant that's really, really great. I just love the food. Let's go to Buca di Beppa.
Oh, no.
So Wayne, you know, Boggs and nobody, you know, I know this is like a train wreck about to happen, right? So
Boggs wants a steak. He does not like Italian food.
Doesn't want it. But anyhow, he goes, that's fine. So off we go to
this
restaurant, right? He has no idea. So we get there, you know, we go upstairs. And they put us in this room that is just covered. Everything is covered with all this, stuff from the church and stuff. And it's fine. But on the table is this head of a pope, this bust of a pope. And it's just sort of staring you down every time. Yeah. And, you know, it's on this big lazy Susan. So, of course, I spin it over there and it's staring at Wayne. And he's surrounded by religious icons at this point. So the waitress comes up and she says, you know, hi, welcome to Buca. And this is how we do things. And so Wayne opens the menu and there's this like, and I'm waiting for it, right? There's this long pause and he goes, this pizza's $54. And it feeds, what does this mean? It feeds five people. And the lady goes, well, it's family style. Everything here is family style. There's no meat. There's no meat on this menu. So we explain that we have to order for everybody, right? And then here's the Pope staring
back
at
him. Watch your language, Wayne.
So eventually the Pope spins around and Wayne orders some, I don't even remember what he ordered. I think he ordered meatball. I don't know what he ordered. But anyway, we finally got everything ordered. And it was just that kind of a night, the entire night. By the end of it, I felt sorry for him. I truly did. My heart hurt because he was so tired and all he wanted was...
You didn't
all
let he wanted him was drive.
No, Carolyn, I think all he wanted was a chicken fried steak or a big steak. And it just...
You don't want him driving angry, you know, or angrier.
It was just one of those... It was one of those nights. I just felt... I felt bad for Boss Boggs. I really did. Poor fella. All right, so what else do we have? What are you doing, Rob? You're up in Maine...
I am up in Maine, totally relaxed and not doing anything in terms of any air show stuff at all at this point. But I will be down in Jacksonville Beach in a couple of weeks at the end of the month and then Punta Gorda. And so I'll be seeing and then Pensacola. I'll be seeing Wayne and I'm sure I'll get a blow by blow, but I will be sure to take him someplace where you can get red meat.
I think you ought to just offer, say, Wayne, there's this great Italian restaurant called Buca di Beppa. We ought to go. Just see.
Just to see what he says,
just to
right?
See, right? Yeah, just to see.
Stupid people!
Yeah.
There he is. Speaking of Florida, though, Rob, the Blues announced the new executive officer for next year, and it's a familiar face. And,
it sure is.
He was here.
Boyles.
Yeah, nice
Todd Rawls was former number eight, former events coordinator. Yeah. And he's back. He was in khakis when we saw him at Miramar. And it is good to have his call sign is Fokker.
Yes. I wanted you to say that.
Yeah.
And you did a good job of it.
Thank you very much. Thou shalt really not did. Screw up thy vowel sound.
That's right. One is very careful with that when on PA. Right.
Yep.
It's fun to watch the team because everyone will know their positions pretty much at Fleet Week or right after Fleet Week. So they're all like kinds of on pins and needles here. They're all putting on their best foot forward and all that because all the decisions are made for the upcoming season. So it's fun to watch that. And it's also, Brandon Hampton, people like that that are moving on to something else now as they leave the team. Brandon's going over to Iwakuni, apparently, to fly the Super Hornet. Stuff like that. And you see, and Chris Schneider with the F-16 team, you see it's going to be hard for them to let air shows go. You can just see that because they've had such a great time. But it's a time of change right now, so it's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. And with Brandon leaving and then Andre Webb stepping into the number five position, there are guys in the Blues, when the typical move in the Blue Angels, 7-6-5, narrator, opposing solo, lead solo. But the associated workload for each of those positions changes. And some of the guys really miss the narration thing. And that's, and we're finding that to be true of the single ship demo teams. As you mentioned, Chris Schneider wants to stick it out in the business as well. And he's got all the years he needs in the Air Force. He's about to, he'll be retiring from the Air Force soon after over 20 years.
Yeah, so, and we've seen this before, right? I mean, we've seen, you know, Opie did Black Diamond for a while. And then, I'm glad that the guys and the gals that, that get into this want to stay in it. To me, it echoes how much fun we all have in the business.
Yeah, exactly.
It is kind of addictive, you know, for the, and it's very, very, very tough to walk away from it. I think I've watched
because of the people. It really is.
I'm trying to remember who said it first, but it said, I've used this line. It was the airplanes that got me into the business. It's the friends that have kept me in it. So,
right. Can you hear my air conditioner just kick on? Because those hotel room air conditioners are quite something. I may be blown over backwards in just a moment.
It's such a poor quality microphone. We can't hear anything. Barely your voice.
Thank you. I'm on my AirPods. I blew one of my cables went bad this weekend, and thankfully Jay Rabbit fixed me up pretty good. Jay is a very supportive person, as most of our technicians are in the air show industry. But Jay, I had moments here at Sacramento. They like to bring the generals out and the base commanders to have a little chat while their assets are flying. And the California Air Guard, General Jones here, is quite the character. And he kept referring, they did a refueling demonstration. And God love him, he kept referring to, as the Pave Hawk came up behind the Hercules to fit the probe into the nozzle, he kept saying that, and now this is a demonstration of how they pass gas.
Right.
And Jay, God love him, even added the appropriate
sound effects. Of course he did.
Of course.
To my childish comments.
Yeah.
So I couldn't let it go. And the general, you know how they can get that game on face going. Mm. And he kind of shot me a look. And then when we figured out how to turn the microphones off, he said to me, "Okay, that's funny, but
yeah." Well, I always like to open that with, you know, you can't win a war unless you pass a little gas, and it's the truth. I mean, you really have to pass a lot of gas. So
30 seconds after they did that, the Pave Hawk lands, and 200 guys get out of it like a Shriner's car at a circus. And of course, I said, "Well, can you blame them? They've just passed all that gas."
I swear
to God, you know what it feels like to have an army boot on top of your saddle? Right. It's not good.
Oh man! Hey, can I brag on Jay? I don't know if you've seen this, I had dinner with Jay in Sacramento before you got there. Yeah, thanks, Wayne.
Was that Boggs?
That might have been Boggs. I think he slipped in there accidentally. But no, so I had dinner with Jay, and he was very nervous. In fact, we were sitting there with Edgar and Nick, his two of his guys that he brings on the road, and Jay gets up and he goes outside, and he's outside for like, I'm not kidding you, probably 30 minutes. He's on the phone, and you can see him out there moving back and forth like a scared rabbit, you know. And he comes back in,
so to speak,
comes back in. He goes, "I'm really sorry." And Edgar had already explained, you know, they were working at Tyler Perry Studios, which is the old Army base in downtown Atlanta. Tyler Perry bought it. He just bought the entire installation when it came up for sale, and he has turned it into Tyler Perry Studios. And it's literally 12 or 13 soundstage, massive, massive soundstages, state-of-the-art Hollywood overload, in downtown Atlanta. And so Jay Rabbit, who does a lot of air show work, cuts his, you know, has cut his teeth in the television and film and some, you know, a lot of corporate and concert stuff. But really today, and this is something that nobody realizes, is that Jay, he just produced the Dave Chappelle special that's on Netflix, the audio side of it. I mean, the guy is just covered up in television and film business, Netflix stuff. So who is the sound provider for this? I can't even tell you how big this thing. Look it up. Just go look up the Tyler Perry Studios
Oprah
opening.
Oprah was there. Everybody was there.
The president,
there.
I mean, yeah. Obama's were there. The Clintons were there. Everybody that you would expect was there. Spike Lee.
Bigger than that, Oprah was there.
Well, yeah. Will Smith was there. And his, everybody was there. Halle Berry. Anybody that's anybody in that community of actors and entertainers that associate in and around Tyler Perry, they were all there. It was the Hollywoods of Hollywood. And, you know, you think about that. Here's a guy that just started out in the business and has turned this into something so remarkable. And anyway, Jay's the guy that was providing the sound and all of the big screens, all of that stuff. This event.
What few people in our business realize is that what Jay does in the airshow business represents, well, with this addition here, it's just under 10% of what he does full time out of Atlanta and around the country.
Yeah,
because he spends a lot of time. Yeah, he's out in California doing Disney stuff. And he is
in Las
Vegas.
And
with this huge move of the film and television industry to Atlanta, Jay has been positioned in such a way that the guys from the West Coast who have come that way are looking to him some of those companies, one of those companies stores a whole lot of stuff in his warehouse there outside downtown Atlanta.
Yeah, the largest, right.
Our boy Jay Rabbit is the consummate pro, and there is nobody that I've ever worked with any better than he is.
But, and you know, and I'm not taking anything away from any of the other ones, because we all have great friends that are airshow sound contractors. But my point in this is, it's tough to leave this business. Jay does it because he just loves the people.
He loves
the business. So it's...
And some of the people that do this, and they don't do it as big as, say, Mach 1 and Jay and some of the others, the Continental folks, they do one or two one-offs, but they, again, love the business. Is when I go to San Francisco, it's like a nice get-together. It took me, I think it was twice there before I realized who was running the sound system. This guy named Mike Fisher does the sound. His son is on the board. He's behind, like Jay would be, looking after you. And then his brother showed up one day, and I finally got it that year, Roger Fisher. And I said, that's funny, you're Roger Fisher, you're Mike Fisher. You guys don't know Ann and Nancy, do you? You remember the band Heart?
Oh, my gosh.
He says, yeah, that's me.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's them. And Roger shows up. Roger's hanging with me because he's got a new Steadicam thing for his iPhone that he can't figure out. He's shooting the Blue Angels like a 12-year-old child because he's loving it so much. And I've been trying to convince him for the last 2 years now to come down and play live during one of the acts and just get his guitar out and riff for a while.
That'd be fun.
Oh, boy.
The guy that did, you know, Magic Man and Barracuda and all that could probably lay down some cool riffs for what we do. So maybe one day. He says, has to be a paying gig, man.
Well, here's $10.
He was just quoting you, Rick. He was just quoting you.
He was.
That's right.
You know,
money for nothing. What? That's somebody else's stuff, man.
Well, you can't. One of the stories here that we've got this thread here about people that love the business. Can I just say that one guy that loves the business, and I mean completely loves the business, is your friend Dan McLaren. And here was a guy that was driving a beer truck for the business, right? And loved it so much that he figured out a way to stay in the business. That's how he came up with Mach 1. I thought he was kidding, though. I thought he was kidding when I first met him about, you know, he anytime you see a Ferris wheel or a carnival, Dan gets a little tear in his eye, and it's, you know, he longs for the carnival life. And I thought he was kidding with me, but he really loved being a carny.
He did. And he drove a very special ride around in his early days, driving the rig. And we did a show in Wetaskiwin, Alberta, and it is home to the Reynolds Museum. And they, old man Reynolds, to make a long story short, collected up. He told the folks of Alberta that he wanted to make a museum about the province. So if you have old farm equipment, if you have things, bring them, and we'll find a way to polish them up, put them into an exhibit. And this thing has grown. It's almost like a Disney World out west in this little town where the Canadian Aviation Hall of Fame is, actually, and because it's a good connection there, because this place has become so popular over the years. So we're setting up there one day, and we literally set up at the side of the museum, which overlooks wheat and cornfields and all that kind of stuff. It's all flat out there, and it's all farm land and this small community. And in the distance, Dan spots something. He says, something's parked over there. Something I can just make it out from the top of the truck with the field glasses, and it looks very familiar. Let's go over there, Rick. So we take the Gator, because we have to do a little bit of off-roading to get over to where this is, and someone from an old carnival of the past has donated the ride that he actually used to drive around. And one of his sign, the logging things that is on the side of the trailer that it pulled and on which the ride is still attached, still has, I think it was either his handwriting or he signed off on it, one of the two. And it's the old ride where you go round and round in airplanes and the kids bend the wings and it goes fast enough, not crazy fast because it's for little kids, but it goes fast enough that the aerodynamics will actually raise the plane and lower the plane. And you can roll it. You can roll right over. You're strapped into it, and you can do a roll.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. And that thing was there. We took pictures of it, and I swear to God, the big old lug did shed a tear that day.
He loves that stuff. And I you know, yeah. Anyway, God bless him, and I'm glad to know him. I don't like to know him on Friday.
Ditto.
I don't like knowing him on Friday, though. Friday's a hard day. Yeah, well, we will. We're going to get it in. You want to get it in now? Should we get it in now? Like right now?
Should. All
right.
Jesus. The commercial? Yeah.
What was it? Oh, sorry. Wrong button.
That was me.
That was Boggs.
Moron!
There he goes.
There it is.
All right. Wrong button. Friendly Jerry's Hot Dogs now offering, get this, split buns with butter.
Oh.
Split buns with butter. You can get a wiener any way you want it at Friendly Jerry's till 4 in the morning. Downtown New York City, New York. Hell's Kitchen. Friendly Jerry's. Thank you. Yeah. We got the t-shirt.
Split buns. That's
split
the
buns.
Way you do lobster rolls, man.
Split
and
buns
that's
with...
That's what I'm looking forward to have. We're going to do lobster tomorrow night.
Oh, that's going to be good.
Up here.
Yeah.
Right off the boat.
You want a split bun, Ricky P, with a little butter... Big,
no, I want to move along from that
big,
as quickly
big,
as possible.
Big hot dog. I don't know what you're talking about.
You know, Axe Alp is on, right?
Yeah.
Because we're listened to worldwide. Do you know what Axe Alp is?
I have no clue.
No, I do not.
Flugerflogen, Flugerwagen, der Schweizer, der Luftwaffen, der Flüge. Ubenflug. 2019. That's why they call it Axe Alp. It's where they the Swiss put on their air show in the Alps, the snow-capped Alps. And I just wanted to bring this up because if folks are on social media, the name is Peter Stehauer, and it's H-O-U-W-E-R. And you can get it connected to him through my social pages. But he takes some outstanding, basically all you to get outstanding pictures there is you just have to get to the top of the mountain and point the camera.
Oh, so you shoot down at the stuff. I think I've seen that.
I have seen that.
They've got airplanes that look like they're coming right out of the ground straight up. And it's because you're on the edge of a cliff in the rugged, you know, snow-capped Alps. And they're dropping flares. But the cool thing about the cold air there is the vortices they get are so unusual. These curly rainbow type things.
Oh,
and everything.
I saw that the other day that you shared.
He's captured some, yeah, outstanding photographs. Yeah. And it just takes you to a different world. And to see people... You don't need stadium seating at an air show like that because you're all sitting on a 45-degree incline anyway and like hanging on for dear life to the edge of a mountain. And they get big crowds up there, and everybody dresses up because it's cold up there and stuff. But the Swiss put on a hell of a show, and it's like a week long. It's on all this week. So it's just
that's
amazing.
Awesome. By the way, I'd be remiss in the last minute and a half here. I'd be remiss if I didn't say come out this weekend to the Atlanta Motor Speedway. As I understand it, this is going to be the last time we see this spectacle happen inside the Speedway with two jet teams to close it out, the Snowbirds and the Thunderbirds this
is
weekend.
Is Kent going to be there?
I think so, right there in the Speedways where the air show happens.
Are you going to offer yourself up as I did there a couple of years ago? So that we could,
in a yellow suit. I remember
am in a,
that.
Yeah, they dressed me up as a marshal would, a pit marshal in the NASCAR races. I got the official fireproof outfit on. They gave me a black flag and they said, get out there and flag him down if the truck that he's trying to land on is going too fast in the pit lane, you black flag him, and that's the end of that. So I, like an idiot, go out there with the black flag and the yellow. It's, you know what it's like in Atlanta. What's the temperature there?
Oh, yeah, it's
like
1,000 degrees on the track.
1,000 degrees. I have no way to breathe in this thing at all. I'm out there thinking, funny, I've got, in one hand, I've got the wireless microphone, and the other, I got the black flag. I'm gonna play the fool. Here we go. Ha-da-da-da-da-da. And I look to my right as I start to wave the flag, and I see Kent diving down. And then realize, oh, for the love of God, I'm the target this time.
Forsythe Peterson.
Yeah.
Right. Threw myself into the grass face first, and I felt the prop wash come right over me.
Prop wash?
And yeah. I swear to God, if you go through there, if you watch NASCAR races from Atlanta and you see any of those yellow suits from the marshals, one of them has a tire print right across the back. So good luck with that, Matt, yeah. My friend. But it's going to be cool. The Thunderbirds are there, and Snowbirds. Yeah, another double jumping thing.
Going to be nuts. Did a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. No, I'm going to be squarely planted inside that air-conditioned press box or wherever they have me. That's air-conditioned with, you know.
It is.
With
totally catered.
Probably catered with some little wine, little cheese. It'll be fun. It'll be a fun night.
It's NASCAR, man. It'll be beer.
It'll
Stop
be beer and
yourself.
Brats.
That's a beer. And I will be on the Mooney Pier across from Alcatraz watching the Blue Angels scream in over the Golden Gate Bridge. And for the first time at Fleet Week, the F-35 is going to demonstrate. So that's going to be fun.
That'll be great. And Rob's going to be counting sailboats in his cabin. Yes.
I'm going to be totally relaxed thinking about you guys eating lobster. That's for me. And when you get up there and Rick, say hi to Brian Kesserling, the new boss.
Dear God, guess what I just forgot? He was sitting here behind me all the time. Just a sec. No. Don't do that. Don't. No. It's just, we forgot.
Oh.
Oh, dear.
What the heck?
Oh, he
Melby
left.
Just left.
Oh.
Melby just.
Oh, Melby just I left.
Got, I'm looking out the window doing the thing, and Melby's in the chair behind here, being very quiet and everything, because he. that's.
So you John, were dressed John. After all. That's I'm glad to know that.
No,
Rick.
I'm not dressed. That probably has something to do with it.
Oh gosh, Rick.
Now I'm concerned why Melby hung out so long.
I don't even want to know. This is we're just gonna stop right now.
It's all he could take. 30 minutes of that, he's gone.
Poor Melby. Oh, all right.
I feel horrible now.
I feel dirty for hearing that. Well, we've yet to yet again wasted more of your time than we should have, but thanks for hanging in there with us. I hope you learned a little bit about the air show business, probably more than you wanted to know today.
Didn't we talk much about the business?
No, just shows.
I don't think so.
Yeah,
we didn't do our prop wash current events segment.
We'll have to do it next time. We're all out of time this time.
New executive officer.
Yeah.
Great Pacific Air Show. Yes. Axel 19.
There you go. We got to go. We really got to go. All right. I'm Matt Jolly.
I'm Rob Ryder.
And that's who they are.
Yeah. he's Rick
I'm
Peterson.
Not.
Rick Peterson.
We'll talk to you next time on.
Pull the plug.
Yes. On yet another episode of whatever
Show
we're calling
Center.
It. Show Center.
Show Center.
The Air Show.
Air Show.
Podcast. There you go. So long, everybody.
Come back, John.